CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness. Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It is the second Friday, which means we have Tracy McBurney here today. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com. Tracy spelt without an E, so T-R-A-C-Y, McBurney with an E, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y.com. Now, I don't know what is happening in the rest of the world. I do know that a lot of the Northeast and, of course, in Toronto is experiencing a lovely storm today. I'm in my PJs. Tracy decided that she should stay at home today, so
I am fully dressed.
And we are ready to talk. Well, I think it's an appropriate discussion then, since I'm in my PJs, about running home to mom. Mm. Let's talk about the programs that we have when we go into crisis mode. I think that's really what kind of happens when we go back into that program.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So when we were talking earlier today, it seems to be this particular program seems to be all around me right now with clients. And I'm always curious when that happens. So I thought when we were talking earlier today, I thought it would be an important thing to bring up. I call it, I don't know, I'm just going to say, let's say that's internalized within our mind consciousness. I call it the Running Home to Mom program. But that program can be actually quite insidious depending on what was going on in your mother's world when she was growing you in the womb. In other words, there is increasing amount of research available to us now and currently being done on the effects of that mother's womb on us, on our genetics, on the choice of genes. In fact, there are those in the epigenetic world, that's the new world of genetic science that honors quantum physics. And they're starting to really, they do recognize that the environment is what actually is the reasoning for what is our genes, what genes are chosen, are the environmental soup that we are in, including the environmental soup of our mother's womb. So how that really works is, let's say you get hurt. You get physically hurt. You skin your knee. You get physically hurt. You get fired from a job. Your heart breaks. So there's emotional hurts. There's emotional scarring. There's physical hurts. And in all of those circumstances, we can initiate from a very unconscious place this running home to mom program. And what will come up for us at a very subconscious level is we will start to attract to us, working with our hearts and working with our subconscious mind, we will start to attract to us the exact experiences to bring forward the exact emotional feelings elicited from within us that we need so that we can feel within ourselves that we are safe and secure and back in our mother's womb and that we are not alone. So the problem around all of this is that not only are all those feelings and all those beliefs and all those ways of thinking and those patterns, not only are they part of a running home to mom program, but they are also, let's call it, installed in your version of what mother is. And they're also installed in your version of what home is. So that means that we will create a home environment until we kind of, let's say, smarten up or become more enlightened. We start to create the home environment that will be the mirror for the home environment that was our initial first home. And our first home that we remember here consciously is the home of mother's womb. So this can actually be quite insidious as you're sitting there with your broken heart or your skin knee, or you're just coming out of some sort of a car accident and you're lying in the hospital. And then all of a sudden, not only are you dealing with all of that from a physical, emotional, spiritual level, but now you start to deal with a whole cascade of what you are creating as creator that's going to tell you on some level that you're safe, that you're secure, and that you're with mom again in that womb. And so you've now just compounded your problems. Unless, of course, your running home to mom program or your coming home program is actually quite clear and quite clean. In other words, your mom had quite a beautiful experience while she was growing you in the womb. She was calm for most of it, peaceful for most of it. There was nothing that was really creating havoc in her world. She was very sorted within herself. And then obviously your running home to mom program is a very different experience. So this is what's been around me right now.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about how many people actually had that latter experience that you just spoke of. I know I certainly didn't, but yeah, I.
So if it is a valuable thing, if your mother is actually still present and still here, it's actually quite a valuable thing to ask her what kinds of experiences was she going through at that time in her history. Like, in other words, my mom has not been very forthcoming with a lot of things that would be more emotional based, but she's been pretty forthcoming with what it was like to live with my father, what it was like to live in that time. And so one of the things that she would tell me about was, because I was born in August. So if you backtrack, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. So December, Christmas, I was probably like a tiny little zygote, or the body of me was probably a zygote growing into something that was more multicellular during that time frame. But my mother would tell a story of my father putting her on a really strict budget at the time of Christmas back then, because there was not a lot of money. So I would have internalized something like that. I would have internalized this not enough. I would have internalized this lack, this conception energy around lack. My mother tells the story about having a $500 budget to buy Christmas presents for the entire family. And that would have included all of the in-laws, all of the children that might have been around. And that apparently was something that was in our house for, might have been for 6 or 7 Christmases after I was born. I think the other thing about those vibrational memories, that's what I want to call them. They're the cellular memories that come into us by vibration. They don't come in words. Right. So it is a cellular memory vibration. And that kind of memory actually is womb to about 2 years of age. So it definitely would have been part of my world, not just as that zygote growing into something a little bit bigger as a body, but it would have been part of the world of my physical body, certainly at the age of 1 and 2, and still being downloaded as vibrational memory. It's interesting that what they seem to know about vibrational memory, or the memory that is nonverbal, that is held without words, is that it's housed in the amygdala of our brain, right at the frontal lobe of our brain. And that amygdala is a really cool part of our brain that is the first place that essential oils will reach when you breathe them in, next to the olfactory bulb. And so essential oils become a really, really wonderful way of releasing cellular memory and starting to cleanse and clear the memory of mother's womb, which is delivers me to a point that I didn't even know that I was going to talk about, but okay, so here I go. About 3,000 years ago or so, before the Inquisition, we used to practice a placing of a drop of frankincense oil onto the soft spot of the baby when the baby was born. it was a very common practice, a very common cleansing and clearing practice, to put frankincense on that place, on the soft spot of the baby's head, just after the baby was born, to put myrrh into the place where the umbilical cord was, to aid in not having any infection. But I truly, honestly believe it was also to aid in delivering the baby out of the memories of the mother and into a cleansing and purifying of its own state of consciousness. And we stopped doing that.
Yeah.
After the Inquisition, it's just not something we do anymore. And in energy medicine classes, it is one of the things that we do re-experience with students, is giving them the opportunity when we find that these sorts of older programs are still installed within the brain. They still have the old running home to mom programs. They still have this rejection of mother programming. Rejection from mother programming that could have happened from the day of birth, could have happened before the birth, this internalization of mother's non-acceptance of us, that frankincense can clear that. Mm-hmm. Putting frankincense on the temple can actually clear that thought pattern.
Nice.
So, yeah, so it's a really interesting topic to understand a little bit, and to understand might actually be happening to you.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because as you talk about the incense, I mean, I can, or the essential oils, I can really see how that would benefit and help purify people. And it's interesting that we used to do a lot of different things, and we've sort of lost that practice when other times in history sort of forced us out of those roles that we used to be, you know, a part of. And I think it's a fascinating thing because we're so often so unconscious and unaware of what's going on and where we are that we're going, that it's just an interesting thing, because clearly at that age we would not have access to not only words, but even understanding emotions. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, well, I think I'm rubbing off on you. You've used the word fascinating 3 times.
Oh, no.
It's what they call sympathetic harmonization. it is one of my favorite words. Okay, so here's the other piece. So that's been spiraling around in my office. Perhaps because there's another piece of work that I need to do on precisely that issue within myself, which is why it's spiraling around in my office. But I also feel like it's worth saying here that not only can we be deeply impacted and affected through, then a series of programs that we resort to on autopilot, during that time in our womb, but we can be quite deeply affected by that time of birth. For a lot of us, that time of birth was a traumatizing time for us. And it was a traumatizing time for us, a lot of instances, because it was a traumatizing time for our mother. And we would take on, for a lot of us, those feelings that were coming from her. Now, first, before I go on, I will preface this by saying not all of us do that.
Right.
Not all of us so easily take on the thoughts, beliefs, instincts, impressions, emotions, feelings of mother or others. But those of us that do, and do it very easily, are what I call thin-skinned versus thick-skinned.
Right.
And I believe that we make choices around that too.
Talk about more when we come back from break, okay?
Okay.
Perfect. We're going to go to break. If you have a question, you want to talk about something that's going on with you, give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com, and Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New Horizons. no boundaries. Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and today I have Tracy McBurney here today. We're talking about this very instant phenomenon of running home to mom program that we sort of run very unconsciously. But right before the break, we sort of moved into a piece of it, which is the thin skin versus the thick skinned.
And Lori, which are you?
Oh, I would definitely say thin skinned.
Yeah, I would definitely say that too, right?
Yeah.
In other words, I do believe that it is a soul choice, right? And it is that we are choosing to come into this lifetime to be perhaps more empathetic. We're choosing to come in because our life path is around counseling, therapy. Our life path is around something artistic, like dancing or writing or singing or something like that, that would require a greater connection with right brain, greater connection with a need to be empathetic and a need to be more intimately connected with people. Versus those people that might come in this lifetime and really want to do something, like maybe my brother, for example. I think I know he came in quite thick-skinned, and he is he's a banker. He is very high up in one of the banks in Toronto now, and he's a banker with integrity.
Nice.
A banker with integrity. And I think he came in thicker skinned. He didn't get lost. He was very clear from the age of, well, actually, he was talking in full sentences before he was a year old.
Whoa.
Yeah. And yeah, that was, my mother said, interesting in its own right to the pediatrician. But he was very clear about what he wanted to do from a very early age. And it never really, when I look at his life, ever really got enmeshed in anything other than what it was that he came here to do. And he's always been pretty clear about that. Me, I floundered for quite a long time. But when I look at it now, I go, I floundered because it was very easy for me to get lost in my mother's womb. And as a second born child, because there are birth order programs that go along with these choices. As a second born child, that would have been absolutely divinely chosen. I would be the peacekeeper in the family. I would be the communicator, the mediator. I would be the therapist, the person more likely to take the stage in the family. There's lots of interesting things around second born child, but also there is a great connection with mother. A great connection with mother's secrets, great connection with my mother's light is very closely aligned with the light of my own soul. In my brother's case, as firstborn child, his light within himself is very aligned to the light of father, very aligned to the light of my father. Yeah, so it would not be advantageous for my brother, for example, to get lost in the womb of my mother, when in fact that might be a very different world than the world of my father, which it is.
Right.
So anyway, having said that, when we come in thin-skinned, it is easier for us to take on the feelings, emotions, and stories of mother and mother's womb. And I think the other thing that I want to bring forward, which was very relevant in our family with my own son, it was something that I didn't know initially. When we are traumatized, whether that's traumatized at the birth or whether we're traumatized by a car accident, we're traumatized by the death of somebody, the sudden death of anything, the shock of anything. When we are in that state and when we are shocked, apparently what happens is our energy field gets very opened up and we get very sponge-like and we start to take in, whether we're thick-skinned or whether we're not thick-skinned, we start to take in the feelings, emotions, thoughts of the others around us, in the world around us, the immediate world around us while that is going on. And this was very relevant for my son when he had gone through the traumatizing birth that he went through. It was traumatizing to me for reasons that I cannot explain even to this day, why I went to some of the places that I went to in my own mind and in my own feeling center. I could only explain it by past life. And he went through that experience with me, and he took on all of that stuff. And it was a natural path. Many years later, it would have been 5 or 6 years later, who actually delivered to me this piece of information. She said, your son took on a feeling and a thought from the nurse in the operating room, a feeling and a thought from the anesthesiologist, and a feeling and a thought from you, and we need to cleanse those from him. He sponged those into himself in the operating room, and they're still operating within him today.
Oh.
Well, you know, then she didn't know anything about that experience. She was working very intuitively at the time. And she got very quiet, and she said the thought and the feeling that he took in from the nurse was not something that she vocalized out loud. It was something that she held inside of herself, and he picked up psychically that her concern for him. He came out with a head that was kind of cone-like because he'd been lying sideways in my womb for a good period of time and would not turn for reasons that we do not know. And so his whole structural world, head, cranial, everything was just a little bit squashed.
Right.
And she looked at that, made an immediate assumption around that, internalized that he was in some way retarded or in somehow way going to be slow. And the words in her head were, he's never going to live a normal life. There was sadness and sorrow inside of her and a real empathy going out to my son that he would never live a normal life. And how sad was that? When my naturopath cleared that thought, it was amazing to see what happened with my son. She also picked up the anesthesiologist's thought and feeling, my son was turning blue when he came out of the womb. Oh. The anesthesiologist thought that he had made a mistake. Oh. His belief that he might have made a mistake, perhaps with more or less anesthetic, whatever it was, his feeling of responsibility around my son's turning blue and the idea that he'd made some mistake and a fear. It was a fear that he'd made some mistake. And my son, up until the time that we cleared this, had a great fear of making mistakes. Huh. Yeah, it was fascinating. And then there was one about myself and feelings around they're taking him. They're taking him from me. And a questioning about whether I would ever see him again because he was turning blue.
Right.
Yeah, it was fascinating. She cleared all of this out. The interesting piece of that is I observed my son, said nothing to him because he's 5 or 6 or 7 at the time when we're doing this piece of work. Within about 24 to 48 hours of clearing all of those beliefs and feelings and energy out of my son, he did something quite astounding. He joined this little hockey league, this little lunchtime hockey league. My son was not a sports guy. He was not a guy that joined teams like that. He was not interested in hockey or any of those things. He played mostly with girls and played mostly in the backgrounds of the schoolyard. He joined this team, came home, told me what a wonderful time he'd had, how much he loved this, whatever kind of hockey they called it, and that he was going back to do it again the next day. Well, to me, I really looked at that and I went, that is a really significant change for my son to be involved in any kind of a team sport, to especially be involved in some sort of a team sport that had anything to do with boys, and to be involved in some sort of a, you know, that kind of companionship, which some might consider a more normal life for a boy child of 6 or 7.
Right.
Right. That he was behaving more normally. Although really at the end of the day, what's normal, right?
Yeah.
but it was really, really, really interesting for the pseudoscientist of me to really observe that within 48 hours of that clearing. And it was just so different than any behavior that my son had ever elicited in the past. It had to be noticed.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It was something.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Is there, there's just something coming on. Is that through you, Tracy, with music?
No, it has nothing to do with me.
Okay, good. perfect. Okay.
It did. There's no music around me at all.
All right.
In fact, I can't hear any music.
Yeah, that's what they're saying as well. So I'm not sure where it's from. Interesting. Okay. Apparently just I can hear it. Okay. So let's
they put people in insane asylums about 300 years ago for the fact that you're the only one in the room that can hear music.
Well, that must be it.
But, you know, we're not doing that anymore because people are talking to themselves on the street all the time, if you notice. And we're doing nothing. That's just completely normal now.
That's great. Okay, maybe it's time to go for a break.
Da, da, da.
That is very strange because it stopped now. Okay. If you have any questions and you'd like to discuss them with Tracy or myself, give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. If you'd like to get more information on Tracy, go to her website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. And you're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com, and Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family.
an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here today. We've been talking about this program that we returned to called Running Home to Mom. And we're going to play with it a little bit longer because we're going to talk about some of the different things and just even my own story. But we're going to, I think we're going to start with Tracy's. But let's go back there.
Okay. So anyway, I just thought in this particular instance, there's a lot of times that I don't really talk about my personal story, but I think here it could be quite relevant. And we're segueing away from that idea of trauma, but I think that was an important piece to put on tape. My mother kept telling a story, and I guess the first thing that I want to say is when your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunts, your uncles, these people that are around you that are what I call family, keep telling a story, and it might be a story that bores you, or it might be a story that embarrasses you, or it might be a story that humiliates you, but then they keep telling it at Christmas, at Easter, at Valentine's Day. It's like, what? Could you just stop? The reason why they're not stopping is because you need to hear something and you haven't resolved something. And they will stop telling the story when you do. When you make peace with whatever that is, when you make use of it, when you grab the gift from it, they'll stop embarrassing you, humiliating you, and bringing it up at dinner tables. So it's a nice thing to say. Anyway, well, it's true. And they will relentlessly keep going until you get it.
Right.
Because they love you on some weird spiritual level. Okay, so the story that my mother would say periodically is a story when I was growing in the womb. She would talk about several things. She would talk about the fact that she could not digest any food pretty much while she was growing me in that womb, mm-hmm. that it was really problematic, that she lived on milk and Gelucel. Okay, so if you know anything about Gelucel, it's got aluminum in it. Uh-huh. So the first thing I'm thinking of is, wow, I'm going to end up with Alzheimer's by the time I'm 50 because my mother grew me on aluminum when I was a baby in the womb. Anyway, I've had the test done. Looks like I'm aluminum free. So somewhere along the line, I managed to clean that out. But she kept telling me this. And it wasn't for a very long time that I was able to really realize how that affected me, how that affected my consciousness. What were the feelings that I was taking in inside of myself that were my mother's feelings and consequently became my feelings? And they were all around starvation.
Oh.
And starvation conflicts, according to Homer, hit at liver. They weaken liver. And so it was interesting to really look at my history as I'm pulling in this energy of my mother's concern. Because when I went back and did some rebirthing experiences, her concern for me, her concern for my well-being, her concern that she wasn't getting enough nutrition, her concern for her own weight, right? Her concern for her own weight, her concern that she was getting too skinny and that she wasn't putting on enough weight. All of these things were things that were festering inside of my mother and therefore became a part of me because I was sponging them because I was thin-skinned. And every job that I ever had, until I really claimed the job that I really wanted, which is the job that I have now, every job that I ever had was a job that was surrounding food. And I don't think that was a mistake. And I think personally, one of the very best candy girls that Famous Players has ever seen or not. In other words, I worked diligently for years at the University Theater, not just as a candy girl, but in all sorts of different facets for them. Loved that company. It was a great job when I was a teenager and a great social life. But I started as that candy girl. And it was really, I mean, that theater was a big theater, 1,236 seats. They reserved 56 seats, I think, for just making sure that people could sit together. So it was almost 1,200 seats of people coming in, and they always had the Blockbusters in Toronto playing at that theater. And I would be sitting there as one of three candy girls, or five if they had the upstairs bar open, and we had to serve 1,200 people in 2.5 seconds to get them in the door. And I took that job really seriously. And now I understand why. It was like I was carrying inside of me all of those feelings about needing food, getting food to these people so they would not starve. Not really concerned about quality of food, but concerned with quantity of food, right? Get that food to them in whatever great quantity that you can get it to them. Mm-hmm. And as I grew a little bit older, then it was Frank Fittier's Pizza, and then I moved into the pubs, and then I moved into managing pubs. And as I looked at my career, as it started to become a career in the restaurant industry, it started to blossom into having more and more control over food in the restaurant, more and more control over the menus and how things were made, working with the chef in some of these places, changing menus and really using taste buds to design things in menus. And then transitioning out of the restaurant industry into the job that began this world, this practice that I'm currently in, which was traditional holistic nutritionist, which was another step up in quality of food, not necessarily quantity of food. But it was fascinating to realize that what had driven me for all of this time was my mother's fears. It was my mother's fears, my mother's concerns buried inside of me that had literally driven me to choose all of those jobs when I became more independent. And it also allowed me to see why it was so difficult at the time when I wanted to transition out of being the traditional holistic nutritionist and into what I really wanted to do, which was being an energy medicine practitioner, which is what I really am now and what I call myself now. And what I love to do now, leaving the nutrition modules to other people unless something comes in intuitively that needs to be addressed. And I was able to understand why that was so difficult, why it was so difficult for me to detach myself from a job or from being so concerned about food, to let my husband be the major person that cooks meals in our house, for example, and he is. And I'm perfectly happy to let him do that because he loves to cook. He likes to cook. And to release myself from a need to control all of that was a really big thing. And I just got it, that it came from that womb experience. And so it was not divine. It was not my divine that was guiding me in those jobs. It was my mother's fear.
Right.
And, you know, I needed to clean up what was guiding me. And so I just thought that was a really interestingly, I love sharing that story in classrooms.
Right.
Because it made sense. And how many people have chosen their careers, have chosen their life paths up until a certain time because they were driven by feelings, emotions, things that were unconscious to them, buried inside of them, that were not really divine guidance. Now, I believe that everything is divine. So the fact everything is divine, and it was divine that I was not being guided by divine guidance at that time because I couldn't be. I couldn't be. I wasn't conscious enough to be guided by divine guidance at that time. I wasn't open enough to allow that. So it was totally divine that all of those jobs have brought me to this place. And now more and more, I am desiring to really be more conscious about what is guiding my life and to not be so allowing as to let it be guided by the emotions or feelings of what was going on in my mother's womb or the emotions or feelings or circumstances of the birth of me or any of the unhealed traumas. Yeah. So it's, and it's been an interesting couple of years of doing the due diligence to really clean up what is guiding me and what is driving my life and what is motivating me. Right. So we can be very powerfully motivated by our mother's womb experience and by her pain, by her suffering and by our need to make that right. What I call that when students are doing a paper on mind addictions, I call that one the saving the world addiction. In other words, your mother is your first world. And so if you're internalizing, as I was internalizing, her pain, her suffering, her starvation, her conflict, her starvation conflict, as I'm internalizing all of that, I become concerned with that. And that can start to manifest itself in bigger and greater worlds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it does. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know how much time we'll be able to have when we get back from our next break. But, you know, my story being one that I wouldn't know because I was adopted, you know, what was going on. There's still obviously ways of finding out, if you connect with the right people, to find out what you do, what you have been going through and why that's still running your life. But yeah, so let's go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com. Tracy's spelled TracyMcBurney.com. Connect with her there and find out all the different things she does. Although, her website doesn't talk a lot about some of the work that she does. So you'd really need to listen to the shows and then connect with her to find out.
That's your point.
Yes. Well, then, you know, not a big point. It's really hard to explain what you do, Tracy.
Yeah, I know.
You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
live in the past. The years run too short and the days too fast. The things you lean on, the things that don't last. Well, it's just now and then my line gets cast into these time passages. There's something back there that you left behind. Oh, time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home tonight. Hear the echoes and feel yourself starting to turn. Something to learn. It's just a game that you play.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tracy McBurney with us today. We've been talking about this program that we have where we run home to mom, and it's about the our mother's womb, the environment that we were in. Right before the break, I mentioned that I was adopted, and we're gonna start with that because Tracy has obviously information so you're not thinking you're never going to know now what happened.
Well, I just wanted to address the idea that you don't have to be out seeking for the next 25 years to figure out what the heck was going on with your mom, your mother, your birth mother, while you were growing in that womb. And as I was saying at break, we need to know what we need to know. And so this, I think, is a very valuable piece of information for people to know, that there is installed within all of us a running home to mom program. And there always will be installed within us a running home to mom or a running home to mother program, but we need to clean up how we're defining mother. We really need to define mother through divine mother, not through the experiences that our mother had while we were growing in her womb. That we need to know that those feelings and thoughts and occurrences and circumstances that our birth mothers went through can dramatically impact us and dramatically impact our choices and interfere with our capacity to align with a more divine way of operating and being driven. We need to know that. We need to know that there is a divine within ourselves, and we need to connect those two. And the other thing that we did not talk about, which seems to be also something that's spiraling in my office these days, is that we can separate ourselves just for reasons of protection and for reasons of survival. We can section ourselves and separate ourselves out to be able to deal with the atrocities in this life, the circumstances, the traumas, the violations, etc. It's a way of operating, to separate rather than stay in a place of wholeness. And so when you're doing this work, you can do this on your own. It's like you are literally talking to this divine within yourself and beyond by whatever name that you would wish to address that with. So that would be God, Allah, whatever it is, the universe, source, source of light. You want to make sure that all aspects of you, that I like to use the word aspects, right? Because aspects encompasses for me, and just let that soak into your own consciousness. Aspects incorporates with me organs, tissues, cells, spaces in between the spaces, different levels of my field, different parts of my consciousness that I can't even pretend to give a name to. So you want to make sure that the aspects of you that endured that, that were part of that experience, that were entrenched in that experience, that those aspects of you are present. They're not off on galaxy number 4998. Mm-hmm. They're not somewhere in your car when you're sitting here. That they are present and in the room with you, that you're looking to that divine to deliver those aspects of you into presence, to release what I call the blocks, reversal states, resistances, or obstacles of any kind that would not allow, that you would then not allow those parts of you to be present, so that you and those aspects of you that endured that pain, took on that reality, took that inside of yourself, are there, and they are cooperating. They are cooperating with what it is that you are asking this divine to help you with. So you're literally asking this divine, in the presence of those parts of you that endured that experience, to literally release you from that time, to go in and heal and upgrade those experiences, deliver you in all of your wholeness, including those aspects of you, deliver you a higher upgrade, a greater way of running home to mom, an upgrade. Think computers, an upgrade. You're still going to run home to mom, but I'm going to upgrade how I'm defining mom. I'm going to upgrade what I'm running home to. You want to ask this divine to aid you in the upgrading of what you are calling home within you, what you are recognizing as home, how you are creating home within you and therefore outside of you because you are creator, right? Mm-hmm. And so you are asking this divine to enter into that whole womb experience with you, to cleanse and clear that, much like it would have been done with frankincense. To literally separate you, the divine you, from the experiences of your mother, the emotions and feelings of your mother that do not serve you anymore. Or maybe we're even thinking beyond mother and womb, and we're thinking about the emotions, circumstances, feelings that went beyond the womb experience up until the age of two. Separating you from those, dissolving those, releasing you from those, upgrading those. Asking this divine for help. And then because I'm just trying to find words for all of this, and, you know, I just think we need to get beyond that, I will then surrender it. I'll say, okay, divine, I've done my best to describe to you what it is that I'm looking for. And words have probably failed me. I surrender this to you. I just wish this to be cleaned now, to be cleared now, to be enlightened now, to be upgraded now. I wish no longer to be defined by the experiences that were my mother's experiences in the womb or my mother and father's experiences while I was growing up in their home that do not serve me anymore. Thank you for clearing and cleansing these from my fields and from my physicality and from my cells and from the spaces in between the spaces in between the spaces to infinitum. Thank you, thank you, thank you for clearing all of this. So something along those lines. But I think the bigger piece is just to surrender it, to do the best that you can to make sure that you are present. The parts of you that endured that pain, endured those circumstances are now present, that they are now cooperating. You are asking this divine to aid with that. You don't know how, you don't have to know how to do that. You just want the divine to take care of that. You are desiring to be cooperative with yourself now and with this divine. And you may need this divine's help to do that, but that is what you wish. And surrender it. You know, thank you for lifting me from this womb, delivering. I love that word, delivering me. Thank you for delivering me from this womb, finally. Yes. And for cleansing and clearing the misconceptions, illusions, and lies that have not allowed me to do this until this time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just allowing yourself to accept a more divine definition and internalization for home, running home to mother, greater, more enlightened definition of mother, it can change your life. It can really just create way less chaos and conflict and battles in your life.
Nice. All right. Well, this has been a great show. I enjoyed it very much, actually. Although I do like having you in the studios, Tracy, so next time.
Next time when the snow is not falling quite the way it is today.
That's right. And next time, it'll be March 8th because this is February. So next time Tracy will be with us will be March 8th. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. You can find Tracy on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. And you've been listening with Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.